Our scripture reading for this morning comes from Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. It's Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. As a sort of a background for this scripture reading is that as Paul is on his second missionary journey and he's going into Europe and he's come to Thessalonica, and he's only been there a short time, and there's much opposition and persecution to him, and so he's sort of driven away from Thessalonica, and he leaves there, and he goes to Berea. And so the brethren there, in verse 10, it says, "The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, along with the number of prominent Greek women and men."
Thank you, brother, for that reading from Acts chapter 17. Thank you for being in our worship assembly today to worship God. We're delighted that you are interested in spiritual things and you like to assemble together to remember the death of Jesus Christ for our sins and to worship and serve Him. We're so thankful for each and every one present this morning. Throughout the history of the kingdoms of men, there have always been men who have aspired to grant to others some high rank, maybe in a political office, maybe in a military, maybe in a society, in an effort to create some noble society or aristocratic noblemen. This is not the sense, though, in which we want to appreciate the term nobility today when we talk about God's nobility. What we have in mind is the nobility that's described in our text in Acts 17, 10 through 12. I wish to consider the nobility of possessing very high, very quality-oriented, excellent qualities that have to do with one's character. Such a high quality of character is pleasing to God. Would you be a person who would have a concern for being considered God's nobility? That's somewhat appealing, isn't it? Such are the Bereans of our text this morning. The New International Version says of them, they were of more noble character. The Moffat translation says they were more amenable than those in Thessalonica had been when Paul preached the word of God there. The Goodspeed translation says they were more high-minded, not meaning the high-mindedness of pride at all, but the integrity of character. The New Living Translation says that they were more open-minded. And Barclay's translation, they were men of finer character. How was that more noble character made known among these people? Think about the two senses that are revealed for us in our text. The first one being that they, according to the New International Version, received the message with great eagerness. The Moffat translation, they were perfectly ready to receive the word. The New Living Translation, they listened eagerly to Paul's message. And the second item in how was that more noble character made known among these people in our text, the second thing that's indicated, they examined the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. So we have open minds and we have open Bibles, if you will allow me to substitute the expression Bible for the scriptures there. Open minds and open Bibles. But that means very little when there's no time for the employment of those open minds and open Bibles. Similarly, those on the day of Pentecost received the word that Peter preached. And the text says in Acts 2 that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. The text says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In a day-by-day involvement in Acts 2, 41, 42, and 46, daily involvement with the Scriptures is essential to growing in faith, growing in knowledge, growing in our strength. Peter says in his letter, first letter in chapter 2 and verse 2, it's the way, really, to being God's nobility. Let us think about these people in Berea in our lesson this morning. These were more noble in that they were, in the first place, free of prejudice. Jesus used an expression in Matthew 13, 15, indicating what prejudice is, even though he didn't use the exact word prejudice there. When he quoted from the prophet Isaiah about the religious leaders of his day, and he said of them, "For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them." In John 7 and verse 51, when Nicodemus was speaking to the Pharisees, he said, "Our law does not judge a man unless it first hears from him and knows what he's doing, does it?" He's asking these Jewish leaders, are we going to operate on a system of prejudice to judge a certain matter about a man before we hear from him and before we know what he's doing? And that's a good question. Prejudice or prejudging is really an enemy of the truth. A verdict is reached before the evidence is heard. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 18 and verse 13, "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and a shame to him." Nathanael didn't ask Philip how he knew Jesus of Nazareth to be the Christ. He just said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" In John 1, 45 and 46, he made up his mind when he heard the term Nazareth mentioned. And that was prejudice. Likewise, Jesus was discredited in Nazareth. His family were all common people, Mark said in his gospel in chapter 6, early on in that chapter. Stephen preached the truth and was killed for it in Acts chapter 7. These people were, as he charged, stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears. In other words, they were close-minded. In other words, they were prejudiced. In thinking about Nathanael and Philip, the answer to that prejudice in John 1 and verse 46 is, "Come and see." Can any good thing come out of Nazareth is the prejudicial statement. Can any good thing come from there? The answer to that, "Come and see." Come and learn and know. See firsthand. Gather all the facts before you make a decision. And an honest heart will consider facts and change when wrong. Others will find excuses or ignore the situation completely. Not these in Berea. They were noble-minded in that they were free from prejudice. They weren't people that were going to accept something hook, line, and sinker either. They weren't gullible people. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, "Examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good." The Bereans were not satisfied to take the word of a preacher. They had to see it in the Word of God. They had to examine the Scriptures. And that was noble of them to do that. Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 14, "Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Matthew 24 and verse 4, Jesus said, "See to it that no one misleads you." A person who is gullible, who will believe anything that anyone says, is a person who is easily misled. Jesus said, "Don't let anyone mislead you." Source test is always important. In the analysis of the preaching of John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men? Test the source. Is it from heaven or is it from men? The baptism of John was important. He had the authority of God to say what he said and command what he did. Those who were not noble said, we cannot tell if it's from heaven or men. In 1 John 4 and verse 1, John wrote and said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Such examining and such testing is vital in our confused religious world of today, isn't it? And those who so test and examine, fairly mind you, are those who are not gullible. They are noble-minded. Thirdly, these were more noble-minded because they were of a ready mind. The King James Version, I believe, calls it a ready mind. The New American Standard Version says that they had great eagerness in this quest to determine what is right. Very much like the prophet Isaiah's appeal to the people when he said in Isaiah 1 and verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." Let us reason together. Be of a ready mind. Be eager to know the things of God. That's nobility. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled in those who are perishing, in those in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." That's what Paul wrote about being of a ready mind and being eager. Luke 8 and verse 15, "The seed and the good soil are the ones who have heard." They have heard that word, and in an honest and good heart, Jesus said, "and they hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." That's the good heart. That's the ready mind. That's the eagerness that's under consideration. And the Bereans were like that. They're noble-minded, aren't they? Many people protest today and say, "We can't understand the Scripture." The problem may not be so much as hard Scripture as it is hard hearts. People observed the miracles of Jesus but just couldn't see that He was the Christ. Why not? Jesus told the reason why. He said, "You've closed your eyes." It's hard to see anything with your eyes closed, isn't it? Consider the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. Why couldn't the priest and the Levite see the wounded man? Was he hidden? No, they knew he was there. The Samaritan had no problem finding him. Suppose we move that wounded man right into the middle of the road where you can't walk around him. The priest and the Levite would just look up, step over, and keep walking just like he was not even there. Their attitude is what made the difference. They were not noble-minded. The Samaritan was willing to see. He had a great eagerness. He had a readiness of mind. That was characteristic of the Bereans that brought them a great blessing we'll talk about in a minute. Furthermore, they were energetic. Romans 12, verse 11, "Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." That's the kind of energy that the Bereans had relative to the things of God. Not like those that Malachi prophesied against in Malachi 1 and verse 13. "You also say, 'My, how tiresome it is.' and you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what was taken by robbery and what is lame or slick, you bring the offering. Should I receive it from your hand? Says the Lord. Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 9 and said, let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Energetic. Very important. A contributor to noble-mindedness. You know, God called these people noble-minded. It wasn't a made-up expression by men. It wasn't a judgment of men. The Holy Spirit indicated that these were noble-minded. They're complimented by God Himself for the kind of energetic attitude they had. This noble-mindedness meant that they were not willingly ignorant. Peter wrote of some who were willingly ignorant in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Knowing this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by His word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Peter calls these willingly ignorant. He says it escapes their notice, but they're willingly agreeing to it escaping their notice. In Ephesians 5 and verse 17, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't let the will of the Lord escape your notice. Don't be willingly ignorant of the Lord. Hosea prophesied in chapter 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of what? Lack of knowledge. Don't be willingly ignorant. Know what the Lord has said. Because you have rejected knowledge, he goes on in his prophecy, I will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of God, I will forget your children, the Lord said. These Bereans were far from willingly ignorant, weren't they? They had open scriptures. Have you not read? Is a statement that we see many times in the Gospels, isn't it? Where Jesus said, question the people. Followers of God, people who were familiar with the Scriptures, taught the Scriptures since childhood. And Jesus asked them, have you not read? Have you not read what God has said? What are you willingly ignorant of? Paul wrote to the Romans and said, what saith the Scriptures? In the same vein that Jesus meant, have you not read? All of these are inspired appeals for open Bibles. Look at the Scriptures of God. Jesus and the Sadducees said the Sadducees were wrong about the resurrection, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. They didn't know the Scriptures. They were willingly ignorant of what the Scriptures said. Is it strange to find people wrong about spiritual things when they don't know what the Scriptures say? Paul, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. In Ephesians 3 and verse 4. Confusion is run out of town by knowledge. It's banished by knowledge of what God says. These Bereans were reading an open book. This is the key to understanding what the will of the Lord is. And they were noble-minded because of that. Many people avow they're looking for the truth. But where do they look? In a dark closet? In a warm room at night, with all the lights turned out? Or candlelight, burning incense, where do they look? Do they look into the Scriptures of God? Do they look in their Bibles? They claim to love truth, but refuse even to discuss the Scriptures with you. That's not noble-minded. Something is wrong somewhere. The Lord said, "Thy word is truth," to His Father. You can't be willingly ignorant and be noble-minded at the same time. And noble-minded people, finally, are people who are receptive to what God said. Notice verse 12 of Acts 17. Therefore, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. Some people discount prominent people of society and say, well, they're too flucified. They're too proud to hear what the gospel has to say. They drink foo-foo in their coffee, I heard some of them say. Well, prominent people in the days of the apostles gladly heard the word of God. They were noble-minded. You can't look at a person and tell if he's noble-minded or not. Can you? Can you tell by his appearance? Can you tell by the clothes he wears and the way he wears his hair and other characteristics about him if he's noble-minded? Doesn't work that way, does it? But that receptive nature of people can come through for those who are noble-minded. Those who are of a good and honest heart. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" He's indicating there that if you would call him Lord, if you would be his subject, if you would be a follower of his, you would do what he said, wouldn't you? You would be receptive to the word. James puts it like this: prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. And he goes on to say, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." That's the receptive man, isn't it? That's the kind of man, that's the kind of people that the Bereans were. And God said they were noble-minded. "Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart," people said. Since you have in obedience to the truth. Since you have been receptive. You have received the word of God and you have allowed it to form your life and change your life. Not living a life formed by this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul wrote to the Romans and said, "So look intently at the perfect law, like these Bereans did. And don't be a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer." To be receptive is to be noble-minded. These are characteristics of the noble-minded. Without these characteristics, one cannot come to God. Because here's what Jesus said. In John 6 and verse 45, it is written in the prophets, "And they shall all be" what? "Taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." That's what you have in Berea, isn't it? People who are being taught of God. The apostles are doing the preaching, but it's God's message. It can be said, therefore, synonymously, that they are taught of God. And the result among these noble-minded is that they heard and they learned of the Father, and consequently they came to Christ. The Bereans recognized the authority of the Scriptures, didn't they? It's very plain. John 7 in verse 17, if anyone is willing to do His will, he will know of the teaching whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself. If anyone wills to do His will, it takes a noble-minded person to do that, doesn't it? Let us not miss a very, very important point in our text today. Therefore, many of them believed. You know, there's a lot in that statement. There's a lot summed up in that very simple sentence. In those few little words that are assembled together, therefore, many of them believed. That's the key result of being noble-minded in the presence of the teaching of God. You'll be a believer. If you have those characteristics, you, like the Bereans, will be a believer. Luke is telling us what led them to be believers. They believed because they kept open minds. They believed because they had open scriptures. And they believed because they had open schedules. They examined those scriptures day by day. An open mind, an open book, can be a secret to your success today in the spiritual kingdom of God. It was for the Bereans. They received the Word of God with all readiness of mind, an open mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily, an open book, whether those things were so. Or you can close your mind, and you can close the Bible, and you can just drift gently on waves of self-satisfaction and miss the blessings of God altogether and miss heaven after death. That's too horrible to contemplate. What about you? Are you a noble-minded person? Does God look at you and see a noble-minded person? A person who is receptive to His Word? A person who examines the Scriptures daily to see what is so and what is not so? So very important in our confused religious world to do that, because we hear many things, don't we? Be a noble-minded person. Be the kind of person that the Bereans were. And you'll be a believer, and God will bless you for it. Can we help you today? Can we help you as a believer to obey the instructions that God has given in order for you to enjoy the remission of your sins? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins and confess Him before men and be baptized in water in this pool behind me? Raised up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life? We can help you with that today. We can help you walk closer to God. We can pray with you and pray for you. If you've become a Christian and you've sinned in a manner that really needs public correction, we can help you with that today. We'll pray with you, pray for you, appeal to God to forgive you upon your confession and repentance. If we can assist you with that, we'd be happy to. And if we can, please come and let us know while we stand and encourage you by the singing of this song.